New York Rangers have clinched a playoff spot. My old coach, Peter Laviolette, won his 800th game in one of the games of the year. 6-5 Rangers win in overtime. Oh, yeah, and the Blue Shirts became the first team to get 100 points, sitting atop the NHL standings. Molly Brooksy and I have tons to talk about, plus my boiling point on Zach Hyman. It's all coming up on Up in the Blue Seats from the New York Post next.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask that you direct your attention to center ice for a special presentation.
Trocheck back to Fox. He's got room. He scores! There it is! Adam Fox wins it in overtime. Peter Laviolette's 800th career win as a head coach in the NHL.
Welcome back to Up in the Blue Seats, our New York Rangers podcast from the New York Post. I'm former Ranger Brian Boyle, joined by my co-host, Rangers beat writer for the Post, Molly Walker, and our Hall of Famer from the Post, Larry Brooks. He's back from Vermont. Join us this week. It's great timing for a new episode after a wild match last night. Wild third period in overtime, anyway. Big points. The Rangers clinch a playoff spot. Let's get in. Want to run it down here? They clinch a spot. First team to 100 points. How many wins they have, Molly?
I didn't even look at it.
Kind of a pop quiz. Sorry, 48.
Yeah.
And we got to give some love here. I will go first with Lavi. 800 wins. And Molly told me fourth fastest to do that in terms of how many games he's coached. I think it's 1502. 800 wins for Peter Laviolette. Great coach. Good man. Love playing for him. So congrats to Lavi. Other milestones?
3 points for Artemi Panarin, 3 assists to get him up to 102. First 100-point campaign of his NHL career. It's a big one.
Remember in the offseason and even in training camp where some people were speculating that Panarin could not play for Laviolette. Laviolette was just going to be too demanding for him. And
I didn't even see that discourse, to be honest.
He was going to...
Who said force that?
Him, he was going to force him to forecheck. No, not...
Let's not, expose
not,
him.
No present company. But
no, I want to expose him.
That he wasn't going to be able to play for Laviolette. That the structure, you know, there was going to be too much structure for Artemi. And I think, we've seen how he responded, I think, to last year's playoffs, to the kind of funky relationship he had with the coach. It didn't stop him from performing. That's for sure. But there were, you remember how many times Panarin needed to explain himself and needed to explain his game and he can do this at the blue line. He can't do that at the blue line. He wants
stupid shit at the blue line. That was one of the best quotes of all time.
Yeah, what have you said?
family show, Molly. So,
yeah, sorry. The lady from the Post is.
I'm not dulling that quote. I can't.
You didn't say it.
He just
did.
Can't. Yeah, he said it, not me.
you've had none of that this year. None. It's just like go play. You know, he's just going out and playing. And it's similar to Lafreniere in a sense that he spent the last couple of years trying to explain himself. And, you know, there were instances where the coach would say something that Lafreniere would have to respond to, and there was really no cogent response. And this year it's been just play, just go play. So, you know, there were a couple of guys who, and listen, and for the Rangers to be here, no one foresaw this. I'm sorry. Nobody thought the Rangers were going to be first overall with two and a half weeks to go in the season. Nobody.
Brian's like, you sure?
They're not running away with it, but I thought they were going to be pretty good. Did we not think they were going to be?
No, I think people thought that they were going to be good. I don't know if you would have said that they were going to, you know, sit in first place in the Metro since October 24th and be the first team to clinch a playoff spot, be the first team to 100 points. I don't know about all that, but yeah, definitely that they were going to be good or at least competitive. But I think that they have definitely exceeded expectations for sure.
Well, you know what? It's impressed me. There's a lot of things throughout the year and individuals too, but the way that Carolina's been playing and the way that they've continued, I mean, wasn't a Picasso last night, but they got it done. So that's what's been impressive to me.
I loved Larry, your quotes from Mika last night about how Carolina has won the division the last three seasons or whatever it's been, and the Rangers won it this time. That is a...
Mika was pretty emphatic about about wanting to win the division, about having that objective in mind. Yeah, it was the next objective, and he could have just brushed it off like, well, you know, home ice isn't that important, whatever. But he made it pretty clear that the Rangers, you know, the Rangers are aiming for first place and are aiming to take down Carolina. So he said, you know, God, Carolina's what, one in three years? We want it. And, they've been there all year. It's so, you know, I don't think, you know, you look at playoff matchups and home ice, and I'm not sure that that's critical to the Rangers. But I think they want to feel good about themselves going into the playoffs too. And they, yeah, it's a mentality, I think.
I think that comes down from Labby. I think that what I remember in Nashville, he wanted to win that division. He wanted that Central when I got there, and that was a big goal. He said, this is the first thing we can check off our list. So that was what they were working towards until playoffs started, right? So you have a clear-cut goal. This is what we're working towards. And then until the next one comes, if you get it or you don't. I'm not sure, but I would assume that comes down from the head coach. They're echoing sort of what's been put in front of them. Here's the challenge. It's a good challenge to have. It keeps you focused. It keeps you doing the right things. The more you do, see, I get that there's that President's Trophy curse, and everybody, and Lavi addressed it, I think, last week. Was that Lazarus's question, by the way? I think it might have been.
All right. It probably was.
And I like Johnny. And it's a somewhat fair question, but if you want to look at it the way the players look at it and the way a coach would look at it, let's do the right things as consistently as we can, as long as we can, and the chips fall where they are. We'll adjust. We'll see. If you give me your best, right? If I'm a coach, if you give me your best, I can make the most informed decision on what can make us the most successful. So let's play our best. If you have a throwaway game, not only do you not get 2 points and the players are bummed out, oh, we lost, whatever. Some guys might be like, oh, I didn't play good. Maybe I'm coming out or whatever. The coach is like, I don't even know how to adjust this because you didn't even give me what you're supposed to give me in terms of how I can make adjustments in a playoff series. When everyone's giving me their best and we're falling short here and there, I can make adjustments with all the information. So he wants them to be playing their best for a lot of reasons. You can't just turn a switch. So focusing on that division, I think, is important.
And that was something that Laviolette said from day one. I mean, from his introductory press conference, he was preaching that kind of stuff about how playoff hockey is not a switch that you can just turn on, and that it has to become, I love this stuff, like the poeticness of it. It has to become like who you are, part of your DNA. He said something the other day, like, you are what you eat, you know, like if you are that every day, you know, then that's what you are. Like that kind of stuff, I feel like is so highly motivating. But I'm wondering, Brian, like just from like a player's point of view, what is it like when you, I don't know how many times you've done this in your career, but when you do clinch a playoff spot so early in the regular season with so many games left, what is the approach to the rest of the season? How do you view, is it tough to get up for those 10 games? Is it, you know, do you want to look at it as an opportunity to, you know, hone in on your game, to gain chemistry history. Just what is like the approach when you're in that sort of situation?
In 2012, we were up near the top of the league for a while. You know, our coach was demanding and wanted us to, you know, play the right way all the time. We knew we couldn't take our foot off the gas because it was, you know, drilled into us for 3 years prior. So it was just play the right way. There was no, you know, resting guys. There was none of that. You know, the coach didn't believe in that, and we wanted to continue to chip away. Like, personally, it wasn't the same statistical year as I had the year before, but it was a different role, and I was proud of it. But I also wanted to get some goals, so I kind of went on a heater at the end, which was nice. But we lost to Buffalo at home with a chance to win the President's Trophy. And I had a goal in that game, and it put us down by two or three or whatever. We were just kind of trying to climb our way back. I remember being so mad. I'm like, we can win the President's Trophy right now, like the only team. And people didn't think it mattered, but it mattered to us. And we just, you know, Buffalo came in and they were out of it, obviously, because it was in the last 15 years. And they just beat us. And I couldn't believe it. I was so mad. We let it slip. And a lot of guys were. It was just, so we find different goals and motivations, not unlike what Lavi's doing now, not unlike what Mika's saying now. And for him to say that, and, you know, I liked his game last night. You know, he's been coming a little bit. That's a great sign. For him to say that, it's a great thing. A big leader on the team that needs to be at his best this time of year. He needs to continue to do it throughout the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the most encouraging, if not the most encouraging aspect of last night's game, other than the fact that they kept coming back and, you know, kept clawing back and won this zany game. But I thought that Zibanejad played well last night, and I thought he was you know, a real factor, and he's going to need to be a factor, and everyone knows it. He knows it. So, you know, you want him, you know, the Rangers and Ranger fans want him to be in a good mindset going into the playoffs. You want him feeling confident going into the playoffs. You need him at his best. There's no doubt about that.
What a time, though. What a time for him. Like, I get there's been questions, and I went on to a Toronto media worried about pressure, right? You get to be the guy on the New York Rangers that they need to carry him in. And there's a lot of guys, you know, you need Shesterkin and you need Fox, you need Panarin and Trocheck, and you need all these other guys, but you're the guy that can change a series. Like, that's not pressure to me. That's like, look what you get to do. Like, look at your opportunity here. I would just get so excited for that. I would try to channel it that way anyway. So hopefully he does.
And we've got more injury news. The Rangers were also without Erik Gustafsson against the Flyers. Molly. Sorry. Just recapping. They're now down three of their top six defensemen, but encouraging signs. Jacob Trouba and Ryan Lindgren were both on the ice for the optional morning skate the other day. They were in regular jerseys. Rangers clarified that they don't wear red non-contact for optional skates, but I still think that it was an encouraging sign that both of them were out there. It was the first time they were back with the team. And I mean, Lindgren was in a red non-contact the other day at practice. And I mean, what was that? 6 days from the injury that everybody thought was going to be season ending. So just another Iron Man feather in Ryan Lindgren's cap, an absolute animal. Wouldn't be surprised if he beat Jacob Trouba back to lineup, honestly, at this point, at the rate that they're both going. But yeah, the Rangers should probably hopefully get maybe six games with their full lineup. And the Rangers were also without Alex Wenberg against the Flyers for personal reasons that we speculate is his wife giving birth, because when the Rangers first traded for him, he said that she was like 37, 38 weeks pregnant or something. And that was however many weeks ago. So putting two and two together, but
that's close to full term for those who don't know.
Brian's the expert on such weeks. A topic. but yeah, for them to have that game without four regulars and to be playing the way that they have without their top defenseman, you know, you can't really understate that enough. It's really impressive. how they've been able to do this. And they've been doing it all season long. In their first season in a really long time where they've struggled with injuries consistently, have taken hit after hit, two season-ending injuries, Filipino Blake Wheeler. They haven't had, they've had it like everybody else this season, which hasn't been that way for a while. So I definitely think that more should be made of that for sure.
Well, congrats to Brandon Scanlon. First game.
He had a really good attitude about it. I was talking to him about just like the added pressures of making your debut under such circumstances, just in a playoff race. Rangers are looking to secure their position. I mean, there's pressure to that, though. No,
it's opportunity.
It's a little bit bold.
The whole narrative.
No, he agreed. There was a little bit of pressure.
It's the best.
No, but it's a.
You know what pressure is? Pressure is a PTO when you have three kids.
Pressure is a privilege. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Well, how do you make diamonds?
Poetic. But yeah, and if you also think about how Brandon Scanlon is probably, if you look at the Rangers' depth chart on defense when they're healthy, Ben Harper's out, Connor Mackey's out. So he just kind of fell into this.
Mackey got hurt?
Mackey's been hurt. Yeah.
Mackey's
been hurt for a while. Yeah. So he's a little bit further down the line. And again, added pressure. He's a little bit far removed from making his debut, but there he was in the middle of that game last night. But I thought he did pretty well, you know?
So yeah, he's been cooking down there. I like that. You know, you pay your dues and this is what you get. Good for him. Congratulations. There's no easy road to get there. So that's great. I mean, it's not to be understated. You get to play your first NHL game. You're an NHLer now forever.
I'm curious to see when the Rangers do get all of their defensemen back, how the D pairs are going to shake out. Larry, I'm curious to hear your take on that. Just considering how well Miller and Schneider have done together.
Jonesy.
And Jones has played really, really well.
I think there's a decision to be made, but I also, whether to keep the Miller-Schneider pair together and then play with the other two combinations, I guess. But I don't think this coach I just don't think this coach is going to be ready to demote Jacob Trouba to the third pair. And, that's the reality of it. He'd be getting, he would be getting the sheltered matchups. He wouldn't be out against the first line. And I just don't think the coach wants that. I think coach wants Jacob Trouba to be playing 22, 23 minutes a game against top four. He wants Miller and Trouba to be their matchup pair. And I think it presents a great opportunity if things are going wrong. It presents a great opportunity to take a look at this next year. But I just don't think this is the coach who is going to start experimenting with shifting all his D pairs for the playoffs when he has had a first overall season generally with these pairs. He hasn't touched them unless there's been injury. So, again, like even talk last night, I asked Laviolette after the game, does he see the remaining part of the season as a runway to experiment? It's kind of used as a laboratory to experiment, see what works, see what might not work. And he said no, that he doesn't like too much change. He likes a little change here and there. If you do the same thing 30 days in a row, then you change it the 31st to catch.
He said it keeps it fresh.
Catches everyone's attention. But he's not a guy who likes change for change's sake. So it would surprise. Look, if we weren't talking about Jacob Trouba, then, there's a different argument. But I don't think Jacob Trouba is going to be a third pair guy for the Rangers.
Can't. You got to have him out being mean and hurting people. That's what he does. That's his skill set now. He big point guy in Winnipeg, and they got the point guys now on the D. Now he's got an element that no one else has back there. So that is what he's going to do for at least a third of the game, I think. there's a way to mix it. I don't know. I just think you go with what you know. And again, like Larry said, and like we were talking about, show me what this is, a situation that happened organically. Show me your best. So now I have more information in case something has to change with the matchup or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a good fallback option if things don't, you know,
Certainly from the Rangers perspective, you would hope that, you know, Schneider is able to take what he's been doing and you know, keep it within himself when his assignment changes a little bit. And I think, you know, I think too that we know how much Laviolette likes Gustafson, and you know, he's played well all year, but I think the way Jones has played also creates a decision. Can Zach Jones break into the top six? I think that now becomes an option for them, where it really wasn't, you know, a legitimate option 3 weeks ago.
Well, because he was just really well practiced and gotten any games,
right?
Which is not, I mean, it's just kind of the way the chips fell. That's right. How that team was constructed. I want to bring up one thing that happened in the game that I loved, and I don't know if you guys noticed. Did you guys notice on Trocheck's goal when they had the turnover in the D zone? He gave a little shot to, I think it was Konechny. Konechny fell down. That created the 2-on-1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just, I don't know. I was so jacked up about that. Because it's a penalty, but it's not. You know, it's like, oh, accidentally on purpose bumped into this guy that created a 2-on-1. A great little play from Mika, faking shot, going to his backhand right across the goal mouth for a one-time goal. And that's what all the replays showed. But
yeah, it was a great pass.
I backed it up this morning. I'm like, did he really? I don't know if he tripped or whatever. He just kind of bumped into, I think it was Konechny, and away they went all the way down the ice. And that screamed playoff to me. It's like, how do you manufacture space? How do you separate? It was things like that. That was... I was so excited about that. Maybe that's just nerding out a little bit, but
I think that's Trocheck.
You know, hockey IQ though. That's like gamesmanship, right? That's cheating. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Imagine that they play in Toronto.
You could coin that saying, Brian.
Right. But if you're not, Larry, what would happen? So remember Florida last year playing against Toronto, and the little stick hold from Radko Gudas that happens 50 times a game. The meltdown that the Toronto fans and media had. Like if the Rangers were playing Toronto and he bumps someone and goes down 2-on-1 and scores, that would be on loop for 2 days until the next game. I love stuff like that.
It's good stuff.
Maybe that's just me. Anyway.
No, you're not alone. You're not alone.
Coach is going to get a career high in points. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, I've written so many words about that line to begin with, because it's just been such a fascinating unit this whole season. For everything from Artemi having his first 100-point season, setting a career high in goals, Alexi Lafreniere, same thing, and Vincent Trocheck just being the linchpin for it all.
And it wasn't designed that way.
No.
Yeah.
The team was designed with Filip Hedl in the middle of that line. And look, maybe they would have been equally successful. I mean, remember the first couple of games, they were passing the puck like they'd been together for 12 years.
Like the Globetrotters of hockey.
Yeah, and Vincent Trocheck, it's really interesting that Vincent Trocheck came to camp essentially having been demoted, right? He was demoted out of the top six. He lost his job. He wasn't going to play in the top six. He started the season as their third line center. They were able to respond to the injury. They were able to fill in. So you spend all summer, you know, looking at line combinations and, you know, moving things around and Hedl is going to be here. Well, then suddenly Hedl's not there. And they just never missed a beat.
I mean, Lafreniere last night.
Yeah, two bingos.
Two goals in the third period. I mean, he was putting the puck where he wanted it last night. Like he was, if you watch the goals, he was putting it exactly where he wanted. Like he was feeling it last night, but he's,
Well, he was double shifting too last night.
Yeah.
He and Panarin were playing on both lines.
Yeah.
I wonder whether Laviolette will be able to do that. Yeah. In a best of seven series, in a best of seven. And then if you get to the second round when, you know, guys are just getting pounded and you're playing every other night. And
as I say, that's when you run your team into the ground.
Is he going to be able to double shift these guys the way he has a lot of the season, which also kind of surprised me about how quickly he was. Well, he recognizes, as I think, as Brian said, he coaches in the moment. He recognizes what's going on in front of him, and he recognizes that he has this phenomenon in Artemi Panarin, who he wants just to get him on the ice as often as he can. He just does. He wants to get Panarin on the ice as much as he can, and he hasn't abused it. You know, it's not like we've been looking at Panarin playing 27 minutes a night, 26 minutes a night, or, you know, his shift lengths aren't a minute 20. You know, it's manageable, but within the ecosystem, he wants him out there. And Trocheck's getting a ton of ice time, too.
Yeah, so Troch is just the way he does it. We'll go back to him quick. I mean, he could play with anyone. He's got enough skill. He goes in straight lines, but he can make creative plays. He's deliberate, but he's got finesse to him, and he's gritty. He's a gritty player.
He can be a pest. Space. He was pissing off the Flyers last night, too.
Yeah, but he goes into a game like, you're stealing something from me, and I'm not going to let you. And that's, I think, an attitude everyone needs to have. And then Panarin is different. I have a hard time explaining it, but everyone knows he's on the ice, especially on the Rangers, and they get him the puck, and he goes to the places that get him the puck. When he handles it, it's different. It looks different than other players. He has it. There's any tape on his stick, drives me nuts. I don't know how he does what he does. It's just a, you know, God-given talent that this guy can. He's so creative. I mean, our trophy votes for sure coming to him. That's going to be an interesting race, the Hart Trophy race. Not that it doesn't matter much, but he's, you know, we're talking about Troch, who's a point a game, and Panarin has 30 more points than him. And they play on the same line.
Yep.
They're on the same power play.
Yep.
it's crazy. And you see that with Cooch in Tampa. Roman Josi's making Nashville look like a contender now. I thought they were going to sneak in, and who knows? They can. Around the league it's awesome.
Barry Trotz is Barry Trotz GM of the
Gregory Award.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they all got grounded. They all got grounded, and they won't lose again. Mom and Dad were mad. Go to your room. Don't lose for a month and a half.
Simple as that.
18 straight without losing in regulation.
That's Nash impressive.
Vegas. Anyways, this is a Rangers podcast. What are you doing, Brian? I just one more. Shot volume was high against a couple leaky goals, I thought. Let's go, Larry. What do you got?
I thought, you know, honestly, I think I turned to Molly at one point during the game and I said, this is kind of like they're playing this like an exhibition game.
Yeah.
And then it just ramped up in the third period. And I just don't think, look, they went through a grinder in Boston. I thought they played almost a perfect, you know, perfectly structured game in Boston. So they win in Boston. Then they come back two nights later and they come back and beat Florida, right? The team that I think everyone agrees presents the biggest obstacle to them in a best of seven, because they're just so physical, because they're relentless, because they come and they come and they come. So, and the Rangers come back and win that game. So I think, you know, I think the Flyers was just a different specimen in front of them. It was kind of a loose game. So I look at the deficiencies on the defensive side of the puck, and maybe, you know, one or two that got by Igor.
Igor was pissed.
I shrugged my shoulders and say, you know what? You know, they committed themselves to winning the game, but they kind of, at the same time, you know, they didn't have this kind of urgency they did against Boston and Florida. And I understood it. I did. I understood it. I think the fact that they won the game was almost remarkable.
Yeah, it definitely was. You know, that was a desperate team.
And I'm sure the Flyers, I'm sure on the Flyers side, they think this is unbelievable. We got a point against against this team, you know, that just turned it on against us whenever they felt like it. So, like,
I was going to say, as if they decided, they just decided.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was kind of like probably a feel good game for the Rangers. You know,
I just worried about the goalie because it's, you know, hopefully you just maybe a little one more test like that. Yeah. And then see how he responds, I guess, because I mean, Konechny's goal, what a shot, quick release. Yeah. I don't like Lawton blowing one by him, though.
Right.
Tippett's goal, I guess, like it's a backhander. It came off weird off the post, off his back. I just saw him kind of flopping around a little bit. Maybe it was.
I was surprised. You know what? I was surprised he played in the game. Not that.
Yeah, you said that. I thought maybe.
Yeah, because, you know, Jonathan Quick is going, you know, the next time he plays, he'll be going for the record for wins by a U.S.-born goalie. And I just thought it would be something, you know, that would be a, you know, a nice milestone for him to achieve at home. But obviously that's not the plan. And you're not going to, you're not going to deviate from the plan. So my guess really is that they lined it up for Quick to play in Colorado. And they didn't.
Or Arizona, you mean?
Or in Arizona.
Yeah. No. Colorado. Have fun. Have fun.
You don't think they'll put Igor against Colorado?
Well, I would have, but then I don't understand why Quick wouldn't have played last night. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I see what you're saying, but I think Igor will play.
I meant Colorado.
Yeah. I feel like Igor will play Colorado and Quick will get Arizona. No.
Well, that's why I thought Quick would play against the Flyers and Igor would play, but you know, that he didn't. You know, I don't think it had, again, I, you know, maybe Quick would have given up 12, you know, again, the way they played. But I was just surprised from, you know, just from the standpoint of the milestone. But again, you're not going to put, and certainly Jonathan Quick isn't, no player is going to put, no team's going to put, you know, a personal milestone ahead of a plan to, you know, to go into the playoffs. So I'm not being critical of it. I was just surprised.
Colorado at home. Jeez. That's another one we can talk about on a different podcast, I guess, because this is a Rangers podcast. But McKinnon is like, that's a different story. 77 points at all. My God. Cool. Well, I think we covered it all.
Mm-hmm.
Go Rangers. That was certainly entertaining. Stinks for the beat writers because a bit boring for 40 minutes of game time. And then
the stress level was high in the third period last night. That's for sure.
No pressure, though. It's opportunity. Let's write some cool stuff.
Pressure. No. Nope. Lots of pressure. Lots of pressure.
It was an opportunity for Molly. It was.
There you go. Good. Awesome. Well, Larry.
Yeah.
Thanks again. Thanks for coming back. This is an opportunity for me. Opportunity for you to get out of here?
Yeah, it is.
Always appreciate your insights, man.
All right.
Great to see you. We got Boiling Point coming up next.
In all honesty, it's a lot of good coaches that I've worked with over a lot of years. A lot of good staffs, great staffs through a lot of years. So many good players, organizations. And Michael Pekka was the first to remind me that he was there for the first one. You know, I've said this before. It's an honor to be here still coaching at my age. And to get the 800 is something. So thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Boiling Point's a little different today. We have, there's a lot of buzz going on around a certain player in the league and for all the wrong reasons. Now, Zach Hyman is an awesome kid. I got to play with him in Toronto and he had an awesome milestone hit this year. He had 50 goals and he never even got 40. So the narrative around him first was, look where he scores his goals from. And I don't know why people want to criticize someone for scoring 50 goals or how they get it. There's a skill involved to being in the right place and finishing. If scoring 50 was easy, everyone would do it. He's an incredible player. He's an incredible worker. He's got a great attitude. It brings me to my next point. There's some rhetoric or talk out there that Zach Hyman is where he is because of his family's wealth. Now, my argument, and I'm trying to stay on the rails here, is if he had such a privilege, if he was so rich that things were given to him, how does he perform in the National Hockey League, the hardest, best league in the world, and succeed? He does it because he's a driven individual. He's been put in places where he's had to get better to succeed. Now, if you want to argue that when he was young, he had different opportunities, okay. But if you tell me that a young person was given the will or given the skill to perform in the NHL, you're out of your mind. It is too hard. I've said it before, but no parent can wish their kid to do well in a sport or in any endeavor. It has to come from within the person. So whether Zach Hyman got to the University of Michigan on his own merit or not, he performed there and did well. He was drafted to the NHL. He signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he did well. He got better every year, and he's done well because Zach Hyman is a driven individual. He's a great teammate. If you watch out after he scored his 50th goal, how his teammates reacted, you'd understand that. So the narrative behind any excuse as to how or why taking any credit away from Zach Hyman really gets me to my boiling point because it's all him. He's done it every single day. He's trained. He's tried to get better. He's worked harder, and nothing can be taken from him. You can try to. You can say things online. You can say whatever you want. Just know that you're wrong. He's a great kid, and congratulations, Zach Hyman, for what you've done and what you're going to continue to do because you are that driven. That's all I got for that.
I think just based on the season we've had, there's probably an assumption or at some point that you're going to get in. And so it's not about that anymore. It's about playing the right way and, you know, feeling good about your game as you get near the playoffs, approach the playoffs, and then you'd like to keep it consistent in the playoffs.
And that will put a wrap on episode 150 of Up in the Blue Seats, our Rangers podcast from the New York Post. Molly, let's dish out our three stars.
I'm going to go with the bread man, Artemi Panarin, 102 points on the season. First 100-point campaign of his career. I would just like to say that I called it in November.
You did?
I did.
You really went out on a limb there when he had a point every game.
No, but come on. You gotta give me some credit.
No, he did. Yeah, he kept it up too. That was
he came out different this season, and it wasn't just the fact that he had a shaved head. He came out. He just looked different on the ice. He looked like he had a different mindset, and I feel like that's played out all season long. He's made everybody on his line that much better. Just an unbelievable season, another great game for him, and, you know, 102 points and still counting.
Yeah, career years for everybody on that line. And number two star goes to the left winger, the right winger. They play offsides, don't they? Whatever. Alexi Lafreniere. This guy, two bingos last night. He is a different player. It takes time, fans. Takes time. When you're not a complete burner who can just fly around, he is a cerebral player. He's going to get better and better. I think he's scratching the surface still, honestly, and he's playing with an attitude like it's like he belongs. He should be up there, and he's going to be a difference maker. So I really like what I'm seeing from Alexi Lafreniere. And who do we have for number three?
Peter Laviolette, 800 wins, the man at the top of the team. I mean, especially if they go far in this playoffs or whatever they might do, I think that Peter Laviolette deserves a good portion of the credit for what he's done with this team this season. I think that he really established a culture and just a vibe in the team in general that this group really needed coming off the last two coaches. He tapped something in this group, and whether it be their post-practice hugs at center ice or, you know, whatever it may be, he really has fostered a great culture on this team that they've all bought into from day one.
Yeah, coach has to empower his players, has to give them roles. and has to understand how to sort of light a fire if you have to. He's great. He's a great motivator. He's great with his structure. Good Massachusetts man. Give him credit. I was excited about the signing. Congrats to 800 wins. Peter Laviolette, third star.
Woohoo.
Those are good. Those are good stars today.
I think so, too. Yeah. Good for us, Brian.
All right. Thanks to Jake Brown for producing the show. Jake, we want to get you in here sometime, maybe next couple shows. I want to hear some of your takes. Anyways, you can catch up on all episodes of the podcast by subscribing to Up in the Blue Seats on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch us on the New York Post Sports YouTube page. You can watch me read this right now. My head is buried in my phone. You can subscribe there. Give us a thumbs up below and comment. How do you feel about the Rangers being the best team in the NHL right now? Ooh, points-wise, they are. All right, for Molly Walker, Larry Brooks, I am Brian Boyle. Thanks for listening and watching Up in the Blue Seats. Talk to you next week.